What's going on, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the California Underground Podcast. 200th episode. We're here. We made it to 200 episodes. I don't think I would have ever thought it. Little old me, I don't know, 4 years ago when I first started this podcast all by myself in my office with a $25 mic from Amazon and said, I hope somebody cares about this podcast. And here we are, this many podcast episodes later. It's not really about the number. It's about the friends we've made along the way. And two of those close friends are the Tatums, Brandon and Corinne. What's up, guys? How are you tonight?
We're doing well.
Yeah, we're good. We're happy to be here to celebrate with you. I feel like we've come such a long way since we've met a few years ago.
I know. Since you first saw little old California Underground talking about a guy named Major Williams and you said, what's this guy talking about? And then you said, I'm gonna check out this guy and see what he's saying. And then someone else who I became friends with, my trusty co-host, the fastest and best researcher in the West, Camille, how are you doing tonight? Rocking the Calipublican t-shirt.
Yes, we had such an eventful weekend, didn't we? Up in Sacramento.
We did. We had a great time in Sacramento. Some candidates confronted me, got in my face about some stuff. But we could talk about that another time.
Cool.
I'm on the S list for somebody down here in San Diego. That's a whole different show, though.
Phil's also wearing the special shirt. I just want to point out he's just hiding it.
I'm wearing the Calipublican too.
You guys are twinsies.
We are. We're twinsing now.
We weren't going to point that out.
So yeah, 200th episode. I figured we kind of make it like a pretty broad general topic, especially with having both of you on. I guess the first thing I really want to talk about is conservative media and like conservative social media, because it's become quite a business now. And it's become quite a, I guess a lot of people see it as a way to get rich quick or at least get their ego stroked pretty quickly. But I see like Brandon and Corinne as two people who did it for the right reasons because they actually care about doing what they want to do and spreading the word and trying to convince others. First off, Brandon, let's talk about you. Like, how did you get started in this space? And when did you decide to hit record and go, I'm going to start recording videos myself talking about politics and other issues?
Well, good question. I have to say, you know, kind of like you, I grew with consistency, you know, just continue to do the same thing over and over, keep putting out good content. But I started almost like by an accident because I wasn't into YouTube. I wasn't into social media. I was a police officer and I went to a Trump rally and it kind of blew my mind as to what happened at the Trump rally. And I decided to make a video and I said, hey, I'm gonna make a video and figure out, or at least present what I had figured out with what happened at the rally and that Trump wasn't a racist and all this old crazy stuff that people try to present him as. And I just decided to make a video, not thinking about social media, didn't know how to monetize nothing. I mean, I was so far removed from all of that.
Were you in your underwear?
I was in my underwear. I was actually in a t-shirt, my underwear in the bathroom. So I was, thank God I didn't accidentally roll the camera back.
Posting on his OnlyFans.
Yeah, whatever. They didn't have OnlyFans back then. I would have been
rich. what started you off, how you got so popular? You were doing TV videos in your underwear and then.
Yeah. Yes, yes. And the camera went down one time and I got rich.
Was this pre you knew Corinne or after Corinne?
It's the only reason why Corinne. I followed him.
Yeah. It was BC before Corinne. So
Okay.
I just made a video, man. I never thought it would be anything. I just wanted to convey my thoughts and I didn't want to text it out. So I just made the video, went to sleep because I worked the night shift. I worked through the night, went to the rally in the morning, went to sleep, woke up, and the thing was viral. And then I started realizing that, hey, it's invaluable for me to continue to speak the truth and continue to express myself. And that led to me making more videos and through consistency. That's how I got to the point I'm at now.
And Corinne, how about you? When did you start like talking up about politics and getting involved? I mean, in your original account, I know you've been nuked from Instagram like 3 times already.
When did I start talking trash on the internet for a living?
Yeah. When did that start?
When did it start? I think it started in 2020. Yeah, I think it started in 2020. Oh, I know what happened. I mean, I don't want this episode, your 200th episode, just to turn into one big like trash talking session. But there is a particular gentleman running for office in California, and he made a video talking about how he wanted to slap Candace Owens, and Owens was, you know, awful. And he said, Brandon Tatum, he's, you know, a X, Y, and Z. He's this and that too, but he's a little bit better because I think he, so this fool made a video talking trash about my husband, and somebody,
Joe Collins.
And somebody sent, I wasn't going to go there.
I went there.
So somebody sent me a link to an article. I think it was I haven't looked at it in forever. I don't know if it's a Daily Beast or Daily Mail article all about some things about him and his FEC report. And in early 2020, I didn't even know that FEC reports were like available to the public. I thought it was like a government thing. And so someone sent me a link to his FEC report and an article all about that. And I was like, what? So I did all kinds of research and I was like, this fool raised millions of dollars and spent less than like my handbag in his district. And this was at the time on his, like one of his original campaigns. So my mind was blown. So me just being the person I am, you want to talk trash about my husband and publicly I'm gonna go for your throat. So I made a video like, listen to this fool just blasting him. And that's kind of started it for me and then continued to do so. And then we got sued and that's how I know you two.
Here we are.
Yeah, it started in 2020.
And we made it, fam.
Yeah. And it's crazy. I mean, I love that we're like, you know, a close-knit group now, but it started because people were just talking trash about my husband. And if you know my husband in real life, he's really a great guy. Like he's genuine. He's like, you know what I mean? He has no time to give and he gives his time to people. Like people will call him on a Sunday and I'm like, why are people calling you on a Sunday? And he's like the nicest, most genuine person. I'm not just saying that because I want you to buy me something. He really is a good, like he's such a good guy. And it enrages me when people just, especially publicly, just hate on him and hate him and talk trash. So I was like, no, F you. And then I heard that other people were talking trash. So then I'm like, oh, y'all, everybody can get some. So yeah, we just go through FEC reports and we expose these people.
Yeah.
That's how it's for me.
I guess that brings me to like my next point, which is, you get so many people who kind of enter this space. I mean, there's probably a new influencer who like jumps into the space every single day. There's always somebody who wants to do something or sees the numbers and they see the sponsorships and all that, and they get into it. And some people get into it for the right reasons and some people get into it for the wrong reasons. And I would say like, Brandon, you're definitely one who just got into it and said, I want to speak my mind. I want to let my opinions known. And you just did it because you wanted to talk about it. You weren't doing this because you were parroting like other people to get likes and go viral and stuff like that. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the thing is that I knew nothing about making money off of it or anything, man. You know, some of these people, they come into it with that idea of if I go viral, I can make money. I can be famous. Because when I first started doing videos, I wasn't even aware of what conservatism was. I wasn't in the movement and there was nobody to look up to that would suggest that you could be famous.
Yeah,
right?
There wasn't like a conservative influencer.
There was nobody. There was no Candace Owens or Brandon Tatum in the conservative influence side. And so, or a black conservative influence side. So it never was something that walked across my mind. You know, I was a police officer serving the community. I did it for an entire year while I was making videos. And then, you know, I had opportunities that opened up and I just genuinely wanted to speak my mind. And I genuinely wanted people to understand that I felt like I had been tricked. I was speaking to the young B. Tatum. Like, these are the things that I would have wanted to know when, you know, I was looking at social media. And it just methodically went through, man. I met this person and I met another person. And then I met Candace Owens, I worked with Turning Point. I was just kind of building my influence that way. But I did it for the right reasons. Knew nothing about how much money you could make. And I mm-hmm. think that what I noticed with these other people is that they're not genuinely themselves. I think the reason I became, you know, as successful as I have been or have so many followers because I'm me. I'm not putting on the front. I'm not making up stuff. I'm not trying to be viral. I'm literally just being myself. And that's the easiest thing to be is be yourself and be consistent and things will begin to grow. But when you start being fake, that stuff is like a flame. It'll flash. You'll become very popular. And then before you know it, you can't withstand the test of time. So.
Yeah, it's and I think a lot of people don't do it. You can tell when they're not genuine. Like you can tell when they're trying to put on an act and they're trying to say like the right viral thing. And I think we kind of like joke between us and we call them like cringe conservatives who like, because you can tell like they're so fake that
so thirsty.
They're so thirsty for comments and likes and to get those follows that they're just like, what's the hot topic of the week? Oh, we're all bashing on this one trans issue. So we're all going to jump on this trans issue and see what's trending as opposed to like, hey, I'm passionate about this topic and I mm-hmm. want to tell people about this topic and because it's interesting to me and I hope like other people find it interesting as well. Corinne, I know you like to like point out who the thirsty influencers are. What are some signs of like a thirsty influencer who's just in it for like, you can tell they're just in it for clout and follows?
I didn't anticipate this podcast getting me in trouble, but I have a feeling.
I was hoping you'd get in trouble. I planned it this way.
Not my intention. I know we always, Camille, Phil and I, we have a group chat.
No, we don't.
Oh, yes, we do. They're called, and it's billable. It's billable. Phil is our lawyer and it's billable.
Every text message.
I know. Brandon's like, wait, what? Yeah, that's not worth sending. That was an expensive meme. Super thirsty. Like last week they were talking, and we all do it because we're keeping up with the current story and the headlines that we see. You know, usually I'll just respond to a headline or, you know, add a joke or add some rhetorical smart aleck question, like to prove my point. It's just to me always like, The TikToks and the like, there's like, say there's real issues to talk about, like a bill that people should be aware of in a certain city or state, but that's not going to get you like viral shares and clicks and likes because it's not sexy enough. And mm-hmm. so we got to make viral, you know, we have to make like a viral video of just being outraged or a viral video about, you know, to me, the funniest thing is when you know what's going on in people's real lives that they don't share with their like social media followers and they'll be posting about something and you're like, yeah, but you're sleeping with a married man in your real life. So should you be talking about morals, sis? Things like that, where it's like most, you know, you guys think that I like out people or Camille outs people. No, like unless you're a politician and it's like you're asking for it. I mean, I'm not in the business of just starting beef with everybody, but there's a reason I don't go to many events anymore. I'm just like, no, a lot of these, I shouldn't say most, but a lot of these people are full of snot.
Yeah, I have this phrase that I say it on a radio show. Can you hear me well? I say this on a radio show. I said, they're not who you think they are. Mm-hmm. A lot of these people are in it. When I started to find out how you make money in this stuff, then I started realizing that, oh, that's what people are doing that for. Because if you do that, that'll lead to this, and then you can make money that way. So that's why people are talking this way. That's why you see 5 or 6, 7 influencers posting the exact same video because somebody's paying them to do this content.
Although I do have to say, I think it's fine to be, especially when you've put in the work and the effort and you've amassed a following and you're consistent and all that stuff, because it does take work. I think it's okay to be paid to post content as long as you agree with the content or as long as you care about the content or as long it's, but not just like, oh, sign this email petition or, you know, or what is it? Sign this petition where it's like, No, that's just an email grab that you're getting paid to do. That petition's not not going to do anything.
I definitely think of one politician who always liked to post and be like, clicking the link in my bio and sign this petition. It's like, no, he's just getting your email so that he can send you, I don't know, like crappy products made in China.
I get them from Nikki Haley, and I am like, I cannot stand that woman. And I unsubscribe, and I keep getting emails, and I'm like, whose list am I on that I keep getting this Nikki Haley, sign my petition, sign up for my this, donate a dollar, help us. Like, sis, help you in what?
Yeah, it's just like people have a list and they sell their list to politicians and stuff. And I get it, man. You got to make money in certain ways, but just do the things you believe in. That's the part that bothers me about certain people, because you know they don't believe in it. And they're just doing it. And then other people are watching them and they're thinking, oh, my God, this person is outraged. Maybe I should be concerned. It's like that person is not even concerned what they're saying. It's the way to make money and to make a living. And I'll tell people, if you want a sustainable career, you want sustainable influence, then you have to be genuine. And what you post may not be viral, but if it's what you are passionate about, other people who are like you will be passionate about it as well. And you, over time, you'll find those people that like what you have to say. Because everything I say is not always kosher with everybody. Some people have a problem with what I say. Mm-hmm. But the difference is that I say what I want to say, but then there's other people that think like me.
Yeah.
And then they'll come and look at the channel and they'll start following me. So I may lose people in this area for saying this, but there's more people in that area that actually agree. So you don't have to worry about making content based on who agrees with what. It's more so just being passionate. Authenticity comes through, and it you could be more, you know, successful that way.
Yeah, I remember Brandon, specifically you told me when we were at dinner that one time we came out to Phoenix, you had said, just do what you love and the money will follow. And I think that's so true. It's like, you do what you love and you do it because you're passionate about it, then the money will follow. And like, it's almost like, don't even think about the money. Like, if you're getting into this space for the money, you're not going to make real connections. You're not going to make like lasting connections. I found that even with this podcast, I've been lucky enough to make really great connections like yourself. Yes, I did check the other day. Candace Owens still follows me, and that's one of my favorite bragging rights. But I've met great people here in San Diego. I've been able to have great guests on the show. I'm not worried about the money. I just love doing this and having people on and spreading like this sort of message. And I think people are starting to find it. There was another question I want to ask. Camille, do you have any questions? You've been kind of just sitting there watching the show.
Well, so. I was here for the money.
Looking pretty.
Now I just found out there isn't any. So no, I was going to say like my favorite of, you know, like thirst traps, I guess it's not thirst trap, but thirsty people is when they grab their phone and then they get in their face and then they're like, do you hear me? And I'm like, okay, calm down, psycho. Like, just, I can't watch videos like that. It's painful. It's painful. The guy will probably unfold.
Or I forgot to admit, like when something happens and it's like, you know, I don't know, something happens in the news or something happens in the country. And instead of waiting to see like, what are the actual facts? What happened? Can I get any intel from somebody that was there? Influencers are like, I got to be the first one to put it out. I got to get the likes. I got to get my post, my tweet has to get shared. I got to be the first. Mind you, it may be wildly inaccurate, but it's like, oh, I got to be the first one. I got to be the first one so mine will get shared, is my biggest pet peeve. And I will unfollow people for it because it's like, you have no idea if that's true. You know what I mean? You have, you know, no facts, but you know that's going to pull on people's heartstrings and get people emotional. So they're going to share your post.
And then they go live. Mm-hmm. That's like the biggest thing. It's like, it just got out and they go live. I'm always teasing Phil about that. I'll text him. I'll be like, it's time to go live about this.
It'll be the middle of the day. I'm at the office and I'm like, she's like, it's time to go live. I'm like, not now. It's not the time.
It hurts the movement too. Cause if, you know, people that are genuinely a part of the movement, there's a standard, in my personal opinion, it means that a standard of genuineness, like meaning that this is something that you research and you really have an advocacy point on this. And it's not just something to go viral. But what they do is sometimes people don't, even on the conservative side, they're like leftists, man. Mm-hmm. They'll find something that they think is juicy for our benefit, they'll throw it out there. I remember it was a, I forget, it was a clip of a lady. She was a conservative. She was parroting, I think, the pro-abortion movement or whatever. She was parroting a thing, and conservatives shared her everywhere.
And we're calling her deranged. And
there's another girl that I apologize to because I was tricked. She was on television and she had made mention that math is racist, right? And so everybody in the conservative movement posted it. I made a video about it. I did say I could be wrong about this, but this is what I'm seeing. So she calls me out on social media and I apologize to her because she was actually a conservative. My mother-in-law followed her and it was a clip that somebody cut completely out of context. Mm-hmm. And they started to share it in the conservative movement and everybody was sharing it because it was juicy. But whoever cut the clip intentionally did not include the fact that she was conservative and she was parroting the ideas of the left. And, you know, I had to apologize. There were so many people that found out that she was a conservative and never apologized. They literally just deleted their thing. Yeah. They didn't come out to their own audience and say, hey, I just want you to know this wasn't actually a leftist. This was conservative. I was wrong about her, you know, and move on. Yeah. A lot of times people, you know, they don't have the courage to do that. I want to say something real quick, too, back to your point, Phil, about consistency and jumping into it for the right reason. I think Joe Rogan is a great example. If people have ever heard of Joe Rogan's story, Joe Rogan said he just started the podcast just because he felt like communicating with people. And he used to have the fighters on there all the time. It wasn't even as big as it is. And he was just doing it because he cared. He doing it because he liked what he was doing. It wasn't about the money. And you look at him now, he has the biggest podcast in the world. So I think that should be an indication for people to, I mean, you may not be Joe Rogan one day, right? But it's an indication that if you do what you love and you're passionate about, it'll grow to the potential it should.
Yeah. And if you look back on like where Joe Rogan started, like the old videos, it's like so long ago, it's not even close to what he is now. And that's one thing, like I try to tell people who are interested in getting into podcasts. Someone actually came to me and said, you know, they wanted to start their own podcast. Did I have any tips for them? Consistency was one. And I say, you just got to keep doing it. And Brandon, I'm sure, you know, like you start off, you don't find your voice until how many videos or episodes, or you don't find your style until how many episodes in. Even at 200, I still feel like I listen to my podcast and I'm like, I didn't like that. Maybe I need to tweak this or I need to tweak that. And I'm sure you do the same thing. You know, you upload a YouTube video or you're on the radio or something. You're like, you're constantly tweaking, getting better. So you're not going to like, I feel like there's so many people who just think I'm going to start a podcast and, you know, first episode, I'm going to nail it. I'm just going to knock it out of the park. And it's like, that's not how it works. Like it takes a long time for you to find your voice to where people can actually listen and tune in, and they want to tune in. They see your content upload and they go, hey, I want to tune in.
But another example of this is Mr. Beast. I saw him on a clip. Now, Mr. Beast is like one of the biggest YouTubers in the world, and he makes millions and millions and millions of dollars a month doing it. And he gives away a lot of his money. He's a very philanthropic person. But Mr. Beast said the same thing. He said he made like 5 years of videos. Mm-hmm. And nobody ever watched him. Like he didn't even get any views in the first 5 years he was doing videos. And now he's the biggest YouTuber. And another thing he had said that I thought was great advice for new content creators was that he had made mention that do your first 100 videos. You don't need to look at stats. Don't look at numbers. Don't do nothing. Make 100 videos first before you even consider looking at the growth of your channel. You need to do at least 100 videos. And I think that's invaluable to state because people see you now and they say, look, he has these followers. It's like, no, I've been doing this for several. You know, for me, I think I've been doing it for at least 3 or 4 years. And in the last 3 years, I've been making like 3 videos a day, you know, so that's a lot of videos. That's probably 100 videos a month through last 3 years. And it's beginning to grow methodically and slowly but surely. But it's the consistency is what people don't understand. And that's why it's invaluable to do what you love. Because if you're just doing it because you're like, I'm chasing stories and you're going to burn out, man. You're going to get to 100 episodes, 200 episodes, and you're not going to have the following that you expected. and it's going to get daunting. But if you just say, man, I don't care how many people follow this thing, this is my outlet, this is my passion, I'm just going to talk about cigars. I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to give advice on this. And let me just do that. And I would argue too, focus on if your mission is to impact, focus mm-hmm. on one person. And you say, if I can change one person that becomes the president of the United States of America, I've done my job, right? If I woke Absolutely. Up with the one person that turned into Brandon Tatum or Candace Owens or somebody who have a big platform, then I've done my job. So focus on that one person and get that one person. And eventually, who knows, you'll get millions of people.
Yeah, that happened to me. It's always weird. I don't know if it's just fate or just how it works out. Whenever I feel like I'm kind of hitting a roadblock and I'm kind of, you kind of feel like, oh man, I'm losing steam. Like, what am I doing this for? You start to get down on yourself. I went to an event a couple weeks ago and somebody came up to me and they go, hey, you're Phil from California Underground, right? I said, yeah. Hey, what's going on? He's like, oh, yeah, man, I'm a big fan of the podcast. And I just want to let you know that because of your podcast, it inspired me to get involved in my local politics. And now I'm involved in this, I'm involved in that. And I'm doing all this stuff. And I walked away. I was like floating on cloud nine. Cause I was like, this one person heard my podcast and decided I'm going to get involved. And now that one person, maybe they get someone involved. So it's like you're saying, it's just, if that's what your goal is one person, then I'm happy. Like if I've made a difference in one person's life. So.
And there's so many people that never even tell you, that you'll never talk to, that you may have, saved them from suicide or something. I mean, just because they may have felt like, man, everything is over. I'm the only person that think like this. I'm ready to quit. And then you come along and they're like, it's one more person that think like this, think like I do. They're sick of this stuff that's going on here and there and exposing frauds and, different things that you talk about. And it can really change somebody. I was going to say, baby, I feel like I cut you off.
I was going to say, and to me, that getting somebody involved in their local politics to volunteer for either campaign or in their local GOP or whatever it is, that is way more impactful in real world and real life than getting 1,000 views on a video or getting to 5,000 views on a video. Like making a real life, real world impact should be all of, I shouldn't say our, because I'm not an influencer, but it should be everyone's goal, should be all of our goals when we get on here, is to actually make an impact or get somebody to do something or like make a difference, and not just, it should be to, what can I offer people? How can I help people? How can I, what can I offer, and not what can I get? I think that's the biggest irritant to me about social media, is that you can tell when people are about, or if people say, how do I get followers, or how do I get views, or how do I get likes? Well, it's like, well, who can, like, for what? Like, mm-hmm. It shouldn't ever be about what can I get? What can I get? It should be about what is this doing? What can I do for other people? How is this going to impact, whether it be having somebody understand how to research an FEC report to know, oh, that candidate is actually full of snot and I shouldn't send them $50 or that's who not to vote for, or this is who to vote for, or let me pay attention in the primary. So I feel like it should be about helping people, giving people information, and not, I want to get a lot of likes. I want to go viral. I want to get views. So,
and the financial aspect of it is that you have to consider, if you want to be a millionaire, then you need to influence a million people. You need to change the lives of a million people. If you want to be a billionaire, you have to affect change in billions of people. And all you got to do is look at people who make that type of money. I mean, look at the influence of Apple. It's billions of people got an iPhone. That's why these people are billionaires, So when you make that level of influence, if that's your idea, is that I want to make a lot of money, then you should say, if I'm going to make that money, I need to impact that many people. And if I do that, that money will come. But if I'm only trying to impact a few people and I don't even care, I'm not really consistent, then you can't expect to be a millionaire if your objective is not to impact millions of people.
I'm gonna say, if you want to make $1 million, just run for office.
Nah, if you want to raise $1 million, but
if you want to raise a lot of these people,
that a lot of these people that do that, they don't, we can start naming names. I know people that have raised over $1 million and where are they at today? I don't even think they're running for office anymore, especially the joker that started this whole thing, you know, talking trash about Candace Owens and I, and, you know, the fakest politician, one of the fakest people running for office on planet Earth. And, you know, literally, I'll tell you, he called me out and then I hit him up in the inbox, and then he publicly, he like, come to the hood, man. Come to the hood. You ain't from the hood. Then he hit me up in the inbox and he secretly messaged me and say, bro, it's not safe out here. The gangs are bad out here, man. Can we postpone? And I'm like, say that publicly. But, you know, these people are, but raise millions of dollars. Where did that money go? You know, I want
Four people, Seasons and Mastros.
I want people to understand this. Like, our country spent billions of dollars in politics and half of these people are not going to win. And so what are you doing with that amount of money that you invested in people? Are you investing in a person for them to build their social media profile and try to get famous off of it versus are you investing in somebody that's going to run for office and have a chance to win? And my wife has taught me is it winnable? You know, of course, we have to chip away at the old block at some point.
That's not done in a campaign. That's done outreach.
Right. And that's not done where a person is jumping into a race. I seen her just typing on the thing today. She's, you know, I don't like to say people's name. They know who I'm talking about. But jumping into the race and these people are just in it to get money and fame. It's just like pastors.
But candidates will get upset with yourselves or me for saying that's not a winnable district. They'll say, oh, don't listen to them. They're just being haters. And then in their next race, what do you know? They're running in a new district that might be winnable.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I'm the hater.
It's like pastors. This is a scheme and people have to be aware of it. If you can raise money, you get money in the coffers. You may not be able to take that money and put it in the bank, but you can use that money to then gain leverage and influence because your campaign videos will get your name out there.
Or you pay your spouse or you pay yourself a consulting fee. You pay yourself to consult yourself.
But that's not
there's things you can do to make money. These people aren't leaving these campaigns broken destitute.
No, but that's
they're
not
leaving
where you,
with a lot more money in their pocket than when they started.
But that's not where you get the big money, big money is investing in building your profile. Because if you can build your profile for 2 years with $2 million backing you, then you can write a book. Because one of these people wrote in a claim in a lawsuit that they lost book deals because of certain defamatory statements. That's a book deal? How is that a part of your campaign strategy? So book deals, being able to fly private and fly to these events and network so that you can build a fundraising donor list. And then these people go out and reinvent themselves as something else and they use that, they tap into that donor list. Or they go and reinvent themselves as somebody else. Then they write a book on their fame and their social media has gone from 40,000 subscribers to 500,000 subscribers on the backs of people who donated money to them. Pastors do the same thing. Tithes and offering. They build the big old church. They build a social media following. They go write a book, become millionaires. And they're like, no, I didn't do that on the church's dime. Yeah, you did. You used that money and leverage to build your personality. And then you leverage your personality to make money. So I think people should consider that when you're giving money to these candidates. Are they doing that? Or are they really trying to run and make a difference?
Yeah. You disagree? And, speaking no, about him.
I agree with you. I think, yeah. Speaking of, all of this, just all of we have.
Speaking about the certain joker, Camille saw him in Sacramento and he was just as fake, right, Camille?
I got a so good to see you, Jarlin, and a hug. So, hey. Super special weekend for me.
I would take that over, this. It's like, there was a good year or two spent with just like online internet, you know what I mean? Beefing. But it's like, at the end of the day, it's so pointless. You still go on and see idiot people who are like, oh, we support you. You're a great candidate. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Was and they, get, they still get on was the news. Yeah, it's
they
so,
still doing interviews.
Like,
and
it's not worth it's not worth the energy a lot of the time. You know what I mean? So it's just like, oh, hi, how you doing? Great. All right. Good. Good to see you.
But I will say that what you guys did was invaluable because potentially that person could have continued to gone on and grifted and would have got more support, more donations, more TV appearances, and would have ended up running for office again and had a career out of this. But you guys literally, you know, T-boned him in the intersection because he's running through, getting ready to, because he's already reinventing himself now. I'm a money guru.
Did some of my finest work.
I'm a money guru. I didn't know you can tell people how to make money and you owe people money. How does that work?
I think we're talking about someone else.
I mean, let me say, it was important work. I don't regret doing it. I always advocate, tell the truth. No matter what it costs you, tell the truth, because in the end, you know what I mean? You'll come out on top. But it's cost us a lot of money, and we're still trying to get all that money back. I think Camille and Lindy and I think we're in the bucket now. I think it's cost us.
Don't say how much.
Oh, well, yeah. So it's cost a lot. So
let's not talk about how much.
Yeah, Camille's husband might be listening.
I'm gonna go
clarify, to clarify, the person who sued us is not the person I saw this weekend.
Yes.
I know it's probably one of the other minions.
That person,
maybe a little shorter.
Touch me, there would be a whole new lawsuit already.
Maybe not that person, but the one that's a little shorter.
I wanted to go back real quick to when we were talking about building up your audience. I was talking to my mom about this. I'm not an influencer. I don't have an audience, but I believe that if God gives you a voice and gives you something to say, and you use your voice and say what He told you to say, what He gave you to say, that He's going to give you the right audience. Whether that was one person, 3 people, or 5 million people, He's going to bring you the audience if you are genuine and speak out of what God is giving you.
Like, and have integrity. Oh, sorry.
Integrity. I know I had a situation a few years ago where I had messaged a big person that I followed. Like, she's very big in the, with helping with human trafficking. And I just sent her like a message on Instagram, and I said, thank you so much for what you do and using your voice and whatever. And I didn't expect a response, but she ended up responding to me a couple of days later. And she was like, I got your message, and God put you on my heart, and you have a voice. And she's like, you have a story and you need to share it. And she's like, you don't need an audience. Just start sharing your story. And I was like, wow, that was actually really impactful. Like, and that stayed with me, you know?
Yeah.
And that's all it takes is for you to just start somewhere. Right. I always think of that one person that may be ready to, because we don't understand that the way God communicates is through our testimony. Sometimes we don't understand that. And so telling a person, hey, you need to find God, or whatever you say, sometimes they'd fall on deaf ears. But if they heard what you went through, that'll resonate with them in more of a way than you preaching the scripture to them. And that's like Jesus would speak in parables, because He would give you examples of situations that you can identify with. And that's the way we communicate. And I think that people who have testimonies, that God has given you a testimony, is not for you alone. It's really for somebody else. You know, I was telling another person that I know, well, that worked with me. I'll just say it's a person that worked with me. And I've had, you know, my issues with child custody and things like that. And just so happened, a person that worked with me had a similar issue. And he's like, well, you're so much far along than I am. I'm kind of at the beginning. I said, yeah, I know, because I'm going through this to help you. I'm going through this to help other men to realize, you know, to kind of filter through the pitfalls in some of these things. But integrity in building social media is important, because I think that God manages things behind the scene, too. It's not just your performance on screen. It's like, if people are saying, God, I want to get a great following, you have to understand that you can't go places that God is not going to send you places where you ain't going to stay. You're going to embarrass the kingdom if He gave you a million subscribers and you cheating on your wife behind the scenes, you know, and those things are going to, you're going to do this and you'll come crumbling down. And so when people say, God, I really want influence, like, God, can you really boost my channel and let me help the world? And what God, I think God is telling you is that keep working on yourself, keep building integrity, keep learning lessons, keep networking, keep meeting people. Because when I take you to this level, you have to be prepared. I'm not going to set you up for failure. I'm going to take you there and your integrity can hold you. And I tell people this all the time. God can pretty much, your talent can take you places where your integrity can't hold. And that's why you see people go up here You know, people like, what was they got, a Liver King? And, I, you know, Liver King and all these people, they get very famous and they get these big followings. And then they always are corrupt. And that's because their talent took them somewhere their integrity couldn't hold them. And that's one of my biggest things for people who want to be, want to grow their influence.
So I guess the big question is, do you think this makes what we do, do you think it makes a difference, and how does it make a difference? And I guess the third part of the question is, does it make a dent in a state like California? I guess, you know, it is California Underground. We got to talk a little bit about California. Do you think all the social media, the podcasts and stuff like that, do you think it's making a dent at all in a place like California?
100%. California has the most conservatives out of any state in the country. So, you know, I think that it is. And the concept is, you can't save the world. You just got to save the people in it. And you can't save California. You're not going to save California completely. I don't think it's just the people, just the people with a certain mindset flock there. But it's so many people to be saved there. It's like rich real estate. There's people that get exposed to the high taxes, get exposed to the left wing lunacy, and they're primed to be influenced. But if you influence 10 million, that's a lot of people, but that may not be a lot of people to flip California. You influence 10 million people in Arizona, there ain't even 10 million people that live here. You know what I'm saying? So you have essentially influenced everybody that live in Arizona. So I think that California is prime for an incredible impact. And it's a lot of fodder, well, not just fodder, but it's a lot of material there to talk about what the governor is doing, what the mayor is doing. People are probably waking up more in California than anywhere in the country. Just so happened they get smart enough. Well, not everybody smart enough. Sometimes you got to stay and fight. But some people, they say, you know what? I'm leaving. I mean, they're leaving. Millions of people a year are leaving California.
Because I think it's hard for some people to stay in California and raise a family in California. Right. So they don't really have a choice but to leave. If you can stay, great. But I think so. On my first original account, I've always been conservative, but my first original account was I posted more like fashion and my life in LA and just normal stuff. I usually kept politics to Facebook. And then little by little, during the 2016 election, I would post, and this was, you know, back in the day where it was hashtag I'm with her. And if you voted for Trump, you hate, you know, you're a misogynist and how you're a woman. What do you mean? So I would just drop little things of how, like, I'm not with her and post, you know, memes about Hillary and how awful she was. And then I, you know, came out on Instagram a lot more, but I have people who even still follow me now on my third account who were liberals or leftists or vote Democrat. And they said, I've followed you on your first account for fashion and thrifting and DIYs. I did a lot of like DIY stuff. And they were like, and I used to be a Democrat and I could not refute the things you would say. I mean, I post a lot with humor. I post a lot of rhetorical questions. I post, and this girl now is like the most diehard Republican. She lives in Chicago. And she always says, like, I still can't believe that I was a Democrat. And I think it's so important to tell the truth. Don't get me wrong. I got lots and lots and lots of hate and blocked. And even people that I was friends with in real life, you know, oh, you racist. And I'm like, I'm racist. Like, we've been friends for 10 years. What do you mean? I'm all of a sudden a racist. So you lose a lot by telling the truth, but it's so important to tell the truth because people need to hear it. And when you think no one's paying attention, people are paying attention.
Yeah, it's, I think it's also necessary because there's radio shows and stuff, but I think there needs to be so much more. I think there is a lot more thanks to social media in terms of people talking out about what's going on in California. Like, I just don't think there's enough, even the main news outlets, they don't press any of the politicians here, like the local news, like Fox 5 or NBC 7 or something like that. Any of those reporters. There was a reporter who but she kind of pressed an issue with one assemblywoman here, Mia Bonta, who is the wife of the attorney general. And Mia Bonta was appointed to oversee the budget of her husband with the attorney general's office. And this reporter young lady walks up to her and says, do you think this is ethical, what you're doing? And the voters deserve to know, like, and people need to know. She got so much pushback from people. How dare you call her out? How dare you get in her face? She was responsible and professional. But at the same time, people blew her up because they're like, thank God there's like real journalism here in California. And I think that's what more influencers need to do. And Camille and I think we kind of bitch and moan about this a lot, that like there's so many people with big platforms in California who just aren't doing like anything to kind of alert people. Hey, this bill's coming up, or hey, this unethical thing's happening, or hey, Sacramento just did this, or this city just did this, or, you know, it's always the sensational stuff that they want to get on the culture wars and stuff like that, which sometimes is important. But I think sometimes what's more important is whether or not I'm going to be paying a tax per mile on my car and how many miles I drive. But people don't really think that's that sexy. So we need more of that in California.
Yeah, the sad thing is that when you talk about things of substance, people don't want to hear it. You know, no, it's not, you're never going to get famous if you are
sensational.
I would say famous, but it'll never grow as big if you're not sensationalizing. Now, I'm not saying that it's a bad thing or a good thing to sensationalize things, but this is like sex sales. If it bleeds, it leads. Those things are real. That's the human nature. Like a person, you could be on here and you could say, did you know that this tax is going to be implemented next weekend? And then the next, like a commercial come on and say, the Ukraine war is picking up. And, you know, and people, they'll forget what you said, even though that's mostly important to them. They want to hear fear and excitement or, you know, they want 2-second clips. And but I think it's invaluable to keep chipping away, because I honestly believe that when it's time for people to wake up, when they're seeking truth, they're going to find your podcast. They're going to find the people that are speaking the truth. What's the people that you like in California that I love, the little radio show?
Us?
No. The one I listen to.
The John and Ken show. Do you guys get the John and Ken show, or are they just in LA?
No, they're all over California. I know who they are.
Yeah.
I've been listening to them for years.
Yeah, I've always.
Yeah, I mean, they were great because they were the ones talking about the truth, and it was very compelling because they were the only people who would make sense on the radio, and they weren't even afraid to like say it like it is. I mean, they'll call Gavin Newsom an idiot, and it was like, oh my God, I can't believe people are talking like this in California, and it was great to listen to them. But I think that when you're seeking truth and you get tired of the status quo, you begin to find those truth seeking people that really dig into the facts of things. That's why it's good that all types of people exist.
Yeah. Joe Biden tripping up the stairs is important. It's more important.
It speaks to
than
his, the
people knowing.
Cognition.
Yeah. Then no, I mean, it does. And it's funny, but people are more like, oh, this will go viral, rather than what is important. Like what is really important and what really has to do with, you know what I mean? What will really impact people's lives.
So should I share that clip with my face reacting? Like just me, just like Joe Biden falling on the stairs so I can go viral.
Don't get me wrong. It's funny.
I think it, but I
super low cut top while I'm doing it and make sure that my camera, sorry, I went there.
Oh yeah. And take your wedding ring off and then you'll really get some followers. So, you know, but I think that, it's mixing the two is not a bad idea either, because sometimes you gotta, you know, get the bees in with the honey and then you trap them, because if you talk about sensational things, you may get a lot of people wanting to see your stuff, and then you hit them with some facts,
right?
You hit them with the truth, hit them with something a little deeper. And those videos aren't going to do that well, but at least you got them out there. And I know that people do that in the Christian realm. Like one of my friends, he has a church, and he talks about sensationalized stuff, but then he gets deep and he always say, y'all not going to watch this a lot, but this is important for you to see.
Yeah.
And then he'll throw those videos in with his sensational stuff. He got almost 1 million subscribers on YouTube, but every now and again he hit those and they don't get that many views, but they get the views that people wanting to watch.
Yeah. It's interesting when I look at sort of like the stats of people who listen to the podcast. Our episodes, in a way, are sort of like evergreen, because we talk about like one issue, like we'll nail in on like, okay, we're going to talk about Sandag, or we're going to talk about this local politician like Scott Wiener. And like maybe the first week you don't see like, I don't know, a whole bunch of views, but you'll see a good amount of views, but you'll watch over time. Like that episode will continue to get traction slowly but surely. And I'll see episodes that I recorded like over a year ago. People are still listening to those episodes because they find that stuff. And it's like, it's substantive information that they go, okay, I want to listen to this one now. And I want to listen to this one now. And I want to, and it's not so much like if every podcast you do is sensational based on the temperature of the news that week, no one's going to go back and listen to that podcast from a year ago because they're going to be like, well, that story has already been out of the news cycle for a year, or like, man, did that even happen last year? I don't even remember that stuff. But you start getting into something, you go, oh, I'm going to start like binge watching or binge listening to these episodes. That does make a big difference. And you start to like go down the rabbit hole. So, I think I
told you, I'm not even a podcast person. I don't listen to podcasts, but along the way I found you and started listening to like you, just your little clips on Instagram. And I realized I was learning so much from you that I did start tuning in. I was like, this is fascinating information. And so then I started following you and like continued to listen to your podcast. And you know, and I'm just going to admit it here, there's people I follow who I have zero respect for, and I still follow because it's freaking hilarious to watch what they put out. Like, it's entertainment. They're influencers. They think they're showing, and I'm laughing. Like, this is ridiculous. This is not important. You are a joke, but I'm here for the entertainment. Thank you.
I also...
That's not you guys. That is not anybody here.
Could you have me muted, Camille? Am I muted? I know I turn. I have a lot of people muted because I might like them in real life, but I feel like, and it may just be for like me because I'm in the industry. It's what, you know, it's like we live, eat, and breathe this stuff. You guys too. You get like fatigued. You know what I mean? Where it's like every week something new to be outraged, and it's not for me. It's not like faux outrage. I really am outraged. People voted for Joe Biden. You know what I mean? More drag queen story hours, like another cartoon. Like I can't let my 2-year-old watch, you know, can't turn on YouTube or Netflix. You know, his new movie is, you know, X, Y, and Z. So it's like, I don't doubt that a lot of the outrage and the irritation is authentic, but you get fatigued being outraged every week and every thing, you know, on your feed. You know, you used to go to Instagram to see pretty outfits and recipes and get inspiration. And now it's just sad story after anger, after outrage, outrage, outrage. So it's like people get outrage fatigue. So a lot of like news or political podcasts I used to listen to, I don't listen to them very often, except if something big happens and I want to get somebody, you know, like an intelligent take on something from people that I trust. But so much fatigue, like it's fatigue. It's too much. It never ends. So I think when you're not so sensational and not so emotional and you're giving actual information, I think it's people will gravitate towards that because you can only deal with so much outrage, you know, it's like, ugh, overwhelming.
True. Even doing it is, you know, I just finished my 3-hour radio show.
You have to, you don't have a choice.
Yeah. So, I mean, I gotta, you know, my thing is that I'm just the voice of the people. When they interpret the outrage, right? They see it and they're like, well, you know, I feel like this is the craziest thing ever. The country's going to crap. And then they hear the voice of, you know, I consider myself to hear their voice on it that they want to say out loud, but they can't.
Because they're white.
But nah, sometimes it is. I mean, that's a real thing. Like, I mean, if I was white, I'd be fired from the radio 6 months ago.
You'd be canceled.
Because I talk about black people and I'm like, man, black people get on my nerves. And then, you know, say if I was white and I said that, oh man, I'd be canceled.
Scott Adams.
Yeah. Scott Adams. Yeah. He got canceled.
Well, thanks for saying that. Cause now this is the last episode of the California Underground. I think we've just gotten banned. So.
It's the last one to have a black man on.
200 and done.
200 and done. Yeah. How is the radio show going? I know that's been sort of a change for you. To go from like YouTube to doing the radio show every day. The nice thing about podcasts is we do once a week. We get to talk about whatever we want for how long. And you got to like every day put out stuff and be on the radio.
Yeah, you know, I just do what guys call me to do. You know, the opportunity presented itself. Larry Elder was retiring pretty much from the radio, and I said, you know what, I'll do it. I'll fill in that gap. We need another person on the radio that can speak about these issues. And so I do it, man. I gun it. And 3 hours a day, every single day, I may take a few days off here and there, but I think it's invaluable because people call in and say, man, because I was listening to you, man, I woke up, man. You're the only person on the radio that's bold, that can say this and talk about Christ. And I'm just trying to do what God has called me to do. He gave me ability to talk. And so that's what I need to do. My wife, he's talking crazy to me about how much I talk. But I say, look, it's keeping the lights on. So, God gave me a bit of the talk. I've been like this my whole life. I always have an opinion about everything. I don't think there's anything that happens that I don't have an opinion about. So I'm just using what God has given me. He's given me an opportunity to speak. And while I have a voice, I'm going to do it on every platform that I can, as long as I can, to just make a difference, you know. And so the radio has been going well, man. It's a lot though, but it's taught me a lot too. I mean, I can, it helps me speak clearer, helps me, you know, fix my thoughts together and also be able to publicly speak better, because doing 3 hours of radio, doing a 30 minute speech is like, it's not enough time. You know what I'm saying? So it really is a blessing.
Yeah. It's quite amazing when I heard the news that you were taking over for Larry Elder. There's some big shoes to fill. And I was like, man, that's a heavy load to lift. But if anyone can lift it, it's definitely Brandon. Someone in the chat said, you won't get canceled if you change it to California Underground Railroad.
I was laughing so hard.
We are now rebranding as the California Underground Railroad podcast. So anyway, I know you guys are super busy, and I know this was really amazing that you guys took the time.
Did anybody ask any questions?
Oh yeah. Does anybody have a question for the Tatums? It could be for either Tatum. We'll give it about like 1 minute to see if they have any questions.
Is this on YouTube?
Yeah.
You share it on my YouTube? It's in the con. I wish we'd have shared it from the beginning, and then people can my people can ask the questions.
Way to go, Brandon and Nick.
Well, Nick. That just means we have to have you guys on again soon. That's all.
Looks like we have plans for another episode soon.
We have to come back for a Q&A. By the time Nick do this, everybody be asleep. So,
but by that time, it'll be past my bedtime.
Yeah.
I know you guys see me yawning. My blood sugar is high, and it's way past my bedtime.
I was all screwed up this weekend because I was traveling for the convention, and I was out in your neck of the woods for like one night for a baseball game.
Ask you a question.
That's what Camille told me, because we were talking on the phone on Sunday, I think, or Sunday or Monday, and I was like,
I called both of you.
I saw your post and it said Chase Field, because I saw it at a baseball game and I was like, oh, geez, he flew back from a convention to go to a baseball game. And I saw it said Chase Field. I didn't even realize that was the name of the Phoenix Stadium until Camille was like, oh, yeah, he's in Phoenix, went to a baseball game. And I was like, oh, yeah, Chase Field is here in Phoenix. Duh. I'm not a sports person.
It was a World Baseball Classic, USA versus Mexico. So it was a big deal. USA got their butts kicked 11-5. Mexico showed up. Fans were,
we didn't have our superstars, right? I hope that's what it is. Cause we didn't have our superstars on the team or what?
No, that's what's more disappointing, is they had a lot of superstars and nobody did anything. So, but Mexico, it was fun. Yvonne had a great time, rooting for Mexico. So we got a couple questions in here. First question
is,
she was rooting for Mexico, so.
Traitor.
Yeah. I'm going to have a talk with her. You can't be an America First Team Mexico.
Well, she lived there for 18 years growing up, so it runs through her blood a little bit. Somebody asked, how does Tatum keep his beard so nice? That's the first question. Hard hitting.
Well, so first of all, you got to marry the right woman. Therefore, your stress levels are down. And when those hormones are balanced, it grows out like that. No, I mean,
you have a product to sell?
I think it's okay. I have a product that I use, but I don't want to say it because they ain't paying me to do it.
What do you use, like a conditioner and a beard oil?
Yeah, Manscaped.
What happened? Don't.
It's a certain. Oh, yeah, it's Manscaped. A certain. I do Manscaped too, but it's a certain pomade that I use, and it's a pomade that I use on my beard and also in my hair. I use the same stuff for my beard and my hair, and I comb it out, and it looks really great.
Phil wants to know what it is. Phil wants to know because he would also like compliments on his beard.
My time.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Phil. I'll tell you what I like to use.
Are you going to gatekeep?
Oh my god.
Huh?
Are you gatekeeping right now?
The honest to God truth. The stuff that the pomade I use, I forget the name of the stuff.
Oh.
So next question is, what do you like to talk about besides politics?
She said Jesus and the Trinity. No, I don't. So I do like to talk about Jesus outside of politics, but we like to talk about relationship stuff.
Oh yeah, we do at home.
At home, we always talk about. We see all these videos of people being nutty, especially the red pill movement and all this. I mean, I'm not saying everybody in the red pill movement is bad, but like some people are very extreme, and a lot of single men are very lost when it comes to their observation of women and the way men should treat women. They kind of get lost in the sauce with all these OnlyFans girls and not realizing that there's actually normal women out here, and men should have a decorum in the way they treat women. But we talk about that all the time. We were even thinking about doing a podcast together with like kind of like relationship stuff. I just can't smoke cigars and do it because I know I'm killing my wife right now with my cigar breath. I smell it and I'm like, ah, dang. But anyway.
I'm like, I hope they can't smell your breath right now.
I know. It's cigar heaven right now. Burn.
Cigar breath is tough. I know. Yvonne's not a fan after I smoke cigars. There's a comeback, I think, of like a need for like a little bit of like traditionalism outdoor. Maybe I'm just following certain people on Instagram, but it seems like there's kind of like this comeback of like traditionalism and like men and women and courting and stuff like that. Like it's gotten back to like, we've gotten a little bit too much into the hookup culture. I don't know if you ever watched that Whatever podcast. I watch.
Yeah.
Guy, he does a great job like asking these girls questions and kind of like flipping the script on them, where they have to like answer stuff. Like they ask them like, oh, are you a feminist? And they're like, yeah, of course I'm a feminist. And they're like, okay, do you think men should pay for on the first date? And she's like, absolutely. You should definitely pay for me on the first date. And he's like, doesn't that seem kind of like hypocritical? And she's like, I don't see it that way. So yeah, it's,
oh, those girls are completely dumb. Like a lot of them are young, immature women that are dumb. And then he brings some really smart ones on there too, that do a really good job. It's almost like these women, I don't know where he get the leftist from. One girl rage quit. We did a video. It probably almost hit a million views. She rage quit. I think it was, what was that video about, Nick? It was the gender.
No, it was trans. He said, I wouldn't. Oh yeah. Sleep
he,
with
said,
a trans
he said,
woman.
He said,
she was so offended, she left.
He said, I won't sleep with a, I don't want to sleep with a trans woman because then I'll be gay. And she got really offended. And he's like, is that not gay? If I'm like doing something with a dude, a dude that's dressed like a woman. And she was so offended. She got mad and quit and cussed him out. And she actually threatened like she was going to punch him or something. And it was weird. He brings some weird girls on there. But it's good for entertainment. And it's good for me making videos because I make videos.
See, he's posts those clips that he knows are going to go viral.
I do. I know that's a subject matter. I have commentary. And I know it's going to go viral because some of these women, that's why he do it. That's why he bring those women on there, because they're so ridiculous. But it's, also there's some red pill men thing that these guys like Fresh and Fit. I mean, and this is my opinion. I know it's not representation of this show, but it's just my personal opinion about like Fresh and Fit and some of these young guys. Some of these young guys that are like body count, and men can sleep with as many women as they want, but women can. It's like, no, man, men do get affected as well. I mean, it's not like you can just go around and sleep with people and just turn your brain off. It's like, nah, man, men get affected as well. And men should treat women with respect. And if you want to take a woman on a date, you need to pay for it, period. And if you ain't ready to pay for a woman because you're insecure about her using you, then you shouldn't be dating. Or you don't want to pay for a woman because you ain't got no money. You shouldn't be dating. You need to go to the job and then you can go and take women on dates. But you shouldn't be questioning as a man whether or not I should pay or not because she's going to take advantage of me or not. It's like, man, date a woman that has integrity, that you have intent with, be intentional. And you know, but these young guys who are not married, they have a lot to say about this subject matter. So, you know, that's kind of another thing we like to talk about.
And I feel like one topic that I literally got the most responses ever out of any of my accounts, and I have like the smallest following now, is a lot of times I respond to like conservative culture and things in our conservative culture that I think are kind of like, I don't want to say toxic, but that I don't agree with. But against the counterculture to this hookup culture, conservatives are which is a rightful, righteous message, but it's like everyone says, get married young, you know, do what Camille did, get married young and have lots of babies. That wasn't my reality. I mean, I didn't get married. We didn't meet till I was 35, 36. We didn't get married till I was We didn't get married. Ignore him. We didn't get married till I was 37 and have a baby till I was 38. And so I know a lot of women who want to be married, who want to have kids, but you can't just like, you know, marry the first man you meet on Christian Mingle. And so my message is like, and I think what is an important conversation is not just like a, I'm like losing my train of thought. Isn't like one extreme or the other of like hook up and do whatever you want or get married at, you know, 18 and have 8 babies and churn your own butter. And like, those are way extreme. And I feel like the truth is somewhere in the middle. And I just think that both messages are kind of harmful. Because most 18-year-olds aren't ready to be married. If you are, that's great, but that's not the norm. That's not most right. People.
People are being fictitious about their whole thing. They build this facade of, and they're getting ready to have a divorce, right? Mm-hmm. But they're online saying, get married young, have 40 kids, and everything is going to be okay. And they're at home breaking down, crying every day. They want to quit. They want to get a divorce. It's like
or a lot of people giving this message are, you know, millionaires. They've got, you know, I had a nanny when Bo was a baby. I still have a part-time nanny. So it's easy for me to be like, oh yeah, I have kids. It's great traveling with kids. Well, yeah, cause I have help, but most people don't, you know what I mean? Can't afford nannies or can't. So it's like, it's not realistic. Some people giving advice aren't in your shoes. So don't feel bad when their message doesn't resonate, because that's not real life.
Right.
Yeah, you gotta focus on where you're at and understand that some people should probably wait a little bit to get married. Not saying sleep your way to marriage.
Right, but you gotta wait
till you mature.
Yes.
Cause some men, I remember when I was younger. I think I was 20 or something. And I told my dad, I had this girl, my college sweetheart. I said, Daddy, can I marry her? Should I marry her? And my daddy said, boy, I still pay your phone bill. What you talking about marrying somebody? You don't even pay your own phone bill. Like, get you a job and you got to be responsible. You got to be able to take care of a woman if you're going to get married. So don't ask me about marrying nobody till you're mature. You're ready to be a responsible man, and then you can consider marrying. And I think that people should consider that more so than, oh my God, if I'm not a conservative, if I don't get married and have 45 kids.
I think people
need to manage the kids too, man. Don't have a bunch of kids. You ain't ready for that many kids.
Cause
it looks cute on Instagram. Everybody with their kids. And they're like, oh my God, they have a beautiful family. And they running around like chick with their head cut out, pooping. They won't sleep at night. And so I want people to consider it before they just jump off a ledge.
So my kids are perfect. Kidding. I was 24 when I got married, so I wasn't super young, and I have 4 kids, not 18.
24 is young.
Well, it is, but I wasn't like 18. And
it's young for a man. That's not young for. Well, let me say this right.
Well,
before
you say I'm out of my prime already. 24.
Well,
my husband's
mature.
But I do tell women, people like, okay. First of all, I want to say I am so happy being a mom. Like, I love being a mom. I adore my kids. I do. They're older now, but I adored them back then too. But I always tell people, women especially, it is absolutely worth waiting for the right man. Don't get yourself into a bad situation. And kids are worth waiting for too. I don't regret mine for a second, of course. Like I said, I absolutely adore them. I love them. But waiting for kids if you don't have kids yet and you think, oh my gosh, I'm too old for this or it's not happening. No, kids are absolutely worth waiting for. You have options. It's okay. Don't feel pressured, frustrated that you are missing out on something. You will eventually have your right life, but you need to wait. And just don't rush into anything because you will be unhappy. You will get the things if you rush into it. You will get your man, you will get your kids, and then your life will fall apart. Like Brenda mentioned, you will be sad. Everything will be out of control and it won't be what you wanted or expected.
That's so true. Yeah, true. It is so true.
Yeah, the easy message
is so well put.
The easy message is just, you know, do what we do. Stay at home, be a stay-at-home mom and all this. And it's like, don't do what's best for your family. Do it respectfully, do it with love, put Christ first. And you know, work on what you got to do. But anyway, I know. Is there another question?
Yeah, that was a long tangent.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. I don't see any more questions. The only thing I was going to add was, I mean, everyone's different. My wife and I got married later, so you know, we didn't get married. I mean, it took us a while, and I think it took us the path. It's like that Rascal Flatts corny song, God Bless the Broken Road, that led me straight to you. It's like that's sort of how we ended up together. We both had sort of
long-term relationship. Is that your wedding song?
It was not our wedding song. Our wedding song was Frank Sinatra, Under My Skin. But, you know, it doesn't always happen. Like, you don't have to meet that age deadline of like, if you're not married by 23 or 24, then you're not like a true Christian conservative. Therefore, you're like, you fail the purity test and we can't listen to you.
Well, I had my kid before I was married, so I definitely failed the purity test.
I got two kids. I got one before I was married, and thank God I met this beautiful woman and we got a little beau, but I got a 12-year-old. He'd be 13 this year before I was married. Wow. So, but God can turn your mess into success, you know, because, you know, we have a good life and, you know, my son is great and he's growing up being a respectful young man and I love him. I appreciate him. I don't regret him, you know, but it's hard when you do it, when you don't do it the right way, because you may have drama for 18 years, which, you know, I ain't gonna lie. It's drama, bro. I hope y'all listening. Do it the right way. With me and my wife and Bo, it's easy. I see my son every day. It's wonderful. We have a family. We go travel together. But when you do it the wrong way and you're not with this person anymore, like if you do it where you separate,
it's a headache
for 100 years. I mean, it's a headache. It's not one time that it's not a headache dealing with another person that have their issues and you don't get along. So I tell people it's worth waiting and save yourself till you find the right one and then have a kid. That's how I look at it.
Yeah. My husband, it's like, it's our kid. We got married, but I'll be honest, I carried shame. Like growing up in a Christian conservative home, I carried a lot of shame for a long time. Like it was even after I got married, my church completely turned its back on me. That's a whole different story that I won't get into. My church that I grew up in was a part of all my life completely turned their back on me.
I would choose your situation any day of the week. Well,
right. Like we're great. We're fantastic. I am very happily married. My husband is the best. And I always say that, and that's not a lie. He's the greatest. And we're very happy. We're very fortunate. But I remember it was so hard when I was pregnant because people would say, oh, aren't you so excited? The baby's coming soon. And I felt like if I said, yes, I'm excited, that it was like, oh, you planned this. You know, like, and then if you planned this, then you're not actually a Christian. But then if I didn't say I was excited, then I was a horrible mom. It was just like a whole thing. It was like constant turmoil in my head, which is my own drama, but.
Interesting.
Purity test.
That could be a whole podcast.
Feels like what happened? Where'd this go?
We're almost on to another podcast. last thing I want to say about this, and I'm going to like out myself, is one of my trashy reality TV guilty pleasures is The Bachelor. And I'm always amazed at the fact that there's so many girls on the show that like whenever they go on a date with The Bachelor, they're like, oh, this is so great. A guy has never like taken me out to dinner before. This is like my first time going out to dinner with a guy. And my mind is just like, whew. Like, what do you mean? A guy has never taken you out to dinner and you're like 27 years old and you've dated all these guys and they've never.
I hope all these hope all these girls are virgins. They've never been taken out to dinner.
They took her to the crib. That's what they did. And they went
there. That's the point. It was hookups.
And that's just
and they let it happen. So they got what they expected to get.
We can meet in that gray area of like, just let's start like having dates again. Like let's make dating great again. You know, that should be the theme of the show. Make dating great again.
I might make a shirt.
Oh, crap. I'll take a cut of that. all right. So this has been an amazing podcast. Once again, thanks again for coming on and celebrating the 200th episode. Hopefully we'll see you in the next, like on the 300th. Well, let's not wait until the next like big milestone. Let's have you guys back on again soon. Anything else you guys want to say before we sign off for tonight or?
No, I'm just super excited for you. When did we meet? 2021, I want to say. It was like early 2021. I think it was February or March of 2021. And I just feel like I don't want to say you've grown so much. That's so like cheesy, but you've come so far. I feel like your channel's had 5,000 followers. Now what's your Instagram at? Like 20, 29, 30. You've got more than
Creston
me now.
On like 27.
Yeah. You've got more followers than me. I just feel like you're a testament to like doing the right thing and being consistent. And I just think it's really cool to watch watch your channel grow. And, you know, you interviewed all the legitimate California gubernatorial candidates. And it was just like, it's dope. I think you're doing what you're like staying in your lane. You know what I mean? You're not doing what other people are doing. You're not trying to do what they're doing. And I feel like you're only going to get bigger and bigger and more popular and more impactful. So I just think keep being consistent because it's been very cool to watch.
Yeah, thank you. Ditto. cool. All right. Well, as I end every show, if you enjoyed this show, the best way you can support is just share it with one person. Text it, email it, Facebook Messenger, I don't care, MySpace Messenger, whatever you still got. Just share it with one person and say, hey, I think you like this podcast. And this was a really good podcast. So definitely go share that. Like, share, subscribe, review, all of that stuff. And we'll see you on the next one. Have a good night, everybody.
All right. See y'all later.